You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Well, welcome back once again. MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition. I'm Dave Raymond with Brian McTaggart. And B-Tags, how's life in the second half? Did you have a good break?
Yeah, I had a real good break. And, I think the Astros certainly needed a break going into the break with a six-game losing streak. And they came out and took a series against the Rangers. It showed some fight, literally, and their offense came around. So, we'll see what's in store for the second half now.
Hey, so talk to me about this little brouhaha the other day. Is there something there between these two teams? I mean, they've long been interleague rivals for the Silver Boot back in the day. Now in the same division, you know, in the same state, it's got the makings of something that get kind of testy maybe over time. Has it moved to that stage already?
You know, I think it might have, and, you know, I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think fans have been looking for a reason for the Astros and Rangers to mean something, and, you know, finally the Astros are back in contention. Now the Rangers are slumped a little bit, so it's not like the games are going to carry a whole lot of weight pennant race-wise. But, yeah, I think there's a little bit of bad blood now between these two teams. You got two managers that were in each other's faces, and even on Sunday, Dallas Keuchel went out there with a chip on his shoulder and pitched seven innings where the Rangers could hardly touch him, and he struck out Delino DeShields, his former teammate, and he yelled at DeShields to sit down. I think we got something bubbling, a little Lone Star rivalry. I think that'll be that's good for the fans and be good for everybody, as long as they don't cross the line and start throwing bones or anything. But what happened on Saturday was innocent. Boys will be boys, but Astros and Rangers, I think, is starting to get a little fiery.
Yeah, well, good. I mean, I don't know if it's appropriate or inappropriate to feel one way or the other. I feel like sometimes we can get bogged down by the PC police, but I, for one, I like a little testiness. I like a little edge when two teams get together. And I think for both teams, it's been kind of hard over the years to really establish any kind of, you know, real serious rivalry, because certain teams are already spoken for, you know, Cubs, Cardinals, Red Sox, Yankees, Giants, Dodgers. There's still good ones that sort of emerge for a while. But, you know, when we talk about natural rivalries, like the ones I just mentioned, they exist for a good reason. A lot of times a geographic one, sometimes it's just playing for, you know, consistently for championships. I think the Astros and Braves had a little something going for a little while, but This one makes sense. And this one, you know, when you think about it in the landscape of baseball, Brian, I mean, there is potential for this to become one of those real great rivalries, and there aren't that many truly great rivalries in baseball.
Yeah, I think you're right. And, you know, this weekend in the ballpark, the Astros had three huge crowds, and there were a lot of Rangers fans here. And so even they were battling on the field in the stands, it was just, you could hear both sides sitting and hollering, and you look around and there's Rangers fans, you know, jumping up and down, and Astros fans. And, I think you're right. I mean, the Astros, you know, for a long time when they were in the NL West, it was the Dodgers, and then you mentioned the Braves, and then the Cardinals at the, you know, around 2000. And then as far as the Astros and Rangers goes, the Astros kind of dominated them early on. And then the last 6 or 7 years, the Rangers have pounded the Astros until last year when the Astros played better. So, kind of evening out a little bit. Astros on the rise a little bit. But, yeah, I think it can be a great thing.
So, I mean, it's easy to understand that the Rangers are dealing with a lot of frustration this year, and you could see how something like that could boil over a little bit. The Astros have had such a fun run, but, you know, the end of the first half didn't go particularly well, and they had to relinquish that top spot in the division. And then now, you know, two games behind in the division here as we're, you know, just underway in the second half. But was there, you know, did you feel like maybe there was some frustration bubbling up in that Astros clubhouse as well from maybe, you know, losing that stronghold in the division? Or was there something between the two teams that you felt had been simmering for a while? To what do you attribute it?
I think the Astros were gassed. I mean, they had fewer days off in the first half than any other team. And I know people are baseball players. But, you know, it's a grind to go out there and play every day and travel. And when you do have an off day, you're traveling. So, but, you know, I think they hit the last week of the season. I mean, they had a 10-game road trip to end the first half. And, you know, they went and they lost 2 or 3 to the Red Sox, then they won game one in Cleveland. So they're sitting there 2-2 on this road trip, and then they just fell flat on their faces and lost the next six. So I just think they needed a break, and the break came at a good time, and they seem to regroup offensively a little bit. They set the pitching rotation like they like it, and you know they won a big series against the Rangers to come out. But yeah, now instead of being the hunted for the first half of the season like they were, now they're looking up at the Angels, and they're two games out, like you said, going into the Red Sox series, and they're going to have to play well because I don't think the Angels are going anywhere. They do play. The Angels do come to Houston next week. That'll be a big series, but they're going to have to get healthy. You know, they'll probably make a move in the next 10 days maybe to help them. But, we'll see what they're all about because even when they had a 7-game lead in May, I don't think anybody thought they were going to coast the division title, and now here they are looking up at the Angels. So it's time to find out what they're made of.
Well, you mentioned, the Angels coming in to Houston next week. Between now and then, right? I think it's between now and then. We'll have Craig Biggio going into the Hall of Fame, and noticed you had an article about Biggio and his final preparations. But I don't know. Can you put in perspective what this is going to mean for the franchise, for the city of Houston, and how much have you been able to chat with Craig as he gets ready for this big honor?
Yeah, I've chatted with him on and off. Throughout the last couple of months and had a chance on a conference call a few days ago. But I think it's a monumental achievement for the Astros. I mean, this is the first guy that's going to have an Astros plaque in the Hall of Fame. They've had Hall of Fame players come through here. Randy Johnson, who's going in Sunday as well, played here for a few months. Even Nolan Ryan played 27 years. A third of that was here in Houston, 9 years. He goes in as a Ranger. I know that a lot of fans that left a sour taste in their mouth with the Astros, but there's no denying Biggio is their guy. He's Mr. Astro. He was here the whole time. They drafted him. They developed him. He still works for the team. He holds all these records. A great guy in the community. So really a guy that all the fans are hitching their hat on. And a lot of fans have told me they're making a trip to Cooperstown to go see him get inducted. And I think there's going to be a lot of number 7 jerseys in Cooperstown because the Astros just waited for such a long time to get their guy in the Hall of Fame. And if you're going to pick one guy to do it, Biggio's the guy. Maybe Bagwell gets in there down the road. But, you know, if Bagwell doesn't get in there, it might be a long, long time before you see another Astro go in the Hall of Fame. So this will be a moment I think that everybody can enjoy. And I think Biggio feels like the whole city of Houston is going in there with him. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah, I agree. He's always kind of taken that angle, too, that – you know, everything was for Houston, right? Every accomplishment, every moment, you know, he was always doing it for Houston. And I don't know, I mean, you heard it so many times for so many years, you almost wonder, if it was just a line he came up with. But, you know, sometimes I really think there's something to it. He's a pretty good dude, that guy.
Yeah, he is. And, you know, when he got elected in January and he had the press conference, the first thing he said is, "We finally got a guy in." It wasn't like, "Oh, I made it," or, you know, "It's about time." He's like, "We finally got a guy in." And he was talking about Houston and Houston fans. And it's very important to him. I mean, you're right. He's a good guy. And he really, I think especially his career went on and, you know, his last few years when he was approaching 3,000 hits and so forth, really a love affair with Biggio and the Astros fans really took off to new levels. And almost like a legend-like status now. I think it's genuine when he says the fact that so many fans are going to be there sharing this with him, that means a lot.
Yeah. Well, it'll be pretty special. Meanwhile, do you have to sleep with the ringer on these days? Do you sleep at all these days? This is one of those summers where it looks like the news, you know, could come at any minute, and it's going to be exciting, I think. And there's got to be some anticipation that this team – maybe makes a move in this next week or so as we hit the trade deadline.
Yeah, it is a time where you just it's a constant news cycle. You're waiting for something or a tip or someone reporting something. It's going to be that way for the next 11 days, but it's kind of refreshing because, as you know, for 3 or 4 years there at the trade deadline, it was a fire sale. They were trading away every valuable asset they had, from Berkman to Oswalt to Pence to Michael Bourne, to even down to the Brett Myers and Jay Happ. Just anybody that had been in major leagues for a while, had value, and was making any money, was dealt, and getting prospects in return and so forth. And now here we are on the other side of it. They're in a position now to make a move to get one of these guys, one of these veteran guys. And really going to be interesting to see not only who they get, I think they will get somebody, or a starting pitcher, but what they have to give up. Because they're, to get somebody good, they're going to have to give up somebody good. I know Astros fans want to trade a bucket of balls for Cole Hamels or Johnny Cueto, but they're going to have to give up a prospect or two that you're going to go, ooh, I don't like seeing him go. But they're close enough. They're only two games out. They got to make a run at this thing.
Well, it's going to be pretty awesome. I know for people in your position, it makes for a little extra work, some later nights perhaps, but enjoy it. It's going to be really quite a week or two here for this franchise, and we'll look forward to catching up and getting some more insight from you here in these coming days.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot.
All right. Take care, B-Tags. There he goes. Brian McTaggart, MLB.com Extras, the Houston Astros edition.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.